today we're slaughtering the soldiers of Bashar, and tomorrow we'll be slaughtering your soldiers, and the Islamic State will soon, like your puppet David Cameron said, will begin to slaughter your people on your streets.
Many wars have been born out of fear. Fear coupled with ignorance, fear coupled with greed, or fear coupled with uncertainty. And fear itself has multiple dimensions. From an eerie unease to panic and alarm, and on through to outright terror or crippling horror, fear has as broad a spectrum as color. Now, some of you may find this documentary educational or perhaps disturbing, but scarier than the content of decapitations and execution-style shootings is how a group of 20 to 30,000 militants can generate enough panic to petrify an entire world.
The second largest city in Iraq is now mostly in the hands of fighters with ISIS, the Islamic State.
Fighting against ISIL, the U.S.-led coalition is stepping up its air campaign in
Kurdish Peshmerga forces have entered the Syrian town of Kobani. There they
are. Muhammad Ali, known as Abu Tarab, now believed on the ISIS front lines. He viciously...
Emotions ran high, and there were calls for revenge. As the father of the pilot...
Japanese citizens were brutally beheaded by the Islamic State.
Andre Poulin, a Canadian convert who changed
his name. Quickly identified one of them. That's him there, Maxime Hoshar.
The center of the group is this man, Abu Bakr Baghdadi.
Are trying to encircle the extremists.
Just a week ago, they released footage of smashing ancient arteries,
and ISIS might now be exposing its own people.
Social media to advance its in-your-face.
Features English narration over Hollywood-style special effects.
Egyptian prisoners being marched onto a beach by militants dressed.
Could include the failed female suicide bomb.
ISIS released clips showing the attack.
Now, people, of course, are trying to flee the area.
But this is no caliphate.
Fighter jets are also involved in airstrikes.
Was captured by ISIS last year.
On the streets of Tikrit.
Main north
the test highway. Now for Baghdadi.
And that's why
made a public plea for ISIS to spare his life as well.
A science student, is there any hint he'd become so-called jihadi John?
In order to analyze how ISIL utilizes the media, we need to delve into the past a bit more. In the beginning of the 20th century, mankind found the deadliest weapon in history. And we don't mean the atomic bomb, but what played out after the arrival of a train at the station. To record daily life on negatives gave human beings a sense of immortality, something we have been searching for since the beginning of our existence. Many kings and emperors, much like Napoleon Bonaparte himself, strive to distort reality, to show themselves and their accomplishments bigger and more glorious than they actually were. And with the advent of film and cinema, many realized the value in the manipulation of truth through this medium. Soon thereafter, it became a complex form of art. Post-First World War Soviets would insert subliminal messages between frames, promoting their ideology through images the audience would unknowingly be registering in their subconscious. Then the Nazis followed suit in utilizing the media, where they would display epic images of their war machine to glorify their military and might, all without showing or showcasing the death, carnage, or destruction they were wreaking. This process still goes on today, with thousands of news channels and mass media pushing their interpretation of the truth onto their respective viewers.
For you, I can't back you up, I can't be there for you.
This week, everybody ready for Marco Rubio of Florida? Oh my God.
Nowadays, to make a good horror flick, you don't need a dark theater and a bloodbath on screen. In the 1950s, Alfred Hitchcock's audience in Psycho and Birds would run out of movie theaters frantic. Just as we mentioned earlier in this documentary, how a foreign phenomenon to an audience such as watching a train arrive at a station for the first time may move the crowd out of their comfort zone and into the realm of hysteria, it may seem funny to today's audience. Because everything in media, as in all art, is relative. Scenes that horrify one day bring out yawns the next. During the Second World War, the German language was characterized as rough and violent. The media was able to demonize it through its association with a brutal regime, leading many to forget eloquent and romantic poems of Goethe. The manufacturing of fear and loathing through propaganda only evolved through time. A fear utilized by many parties during the Cold War era, a fear which is serving Western interests in the Middle East today to mobilize and control movements and ultimately to influence or overthrow certain governments.
On one level, you could say it's different to propaganda as we historically know it. If you think about Soviet propaganda during the Cold War or Nazi propaganda or even American and Allies propaganda during the war, in that most of that was had a large state apparatus behind it.
In the beginning of his detailed article titled The ISIS Propaganda War, A High-Tech Media Jihad, Steve Rose compares Second World War propaganda with that which ISIL uses today.
It was made for the state, it was financed by the state, it was usually heavily resourced. If you look at Leni Riefenstahl's Triumph of the Will, which is considered the sort of a milestone of propaganda filmmaking, you could say, she had vast resources. She had, there were 30 cameras filming the Nuremberg rallies. She had hundreds of thousands of troops. It was a massive display of sort of national power. So in a way, Islamic State, I suppose, can claim to be a nation state and therefore is similar in that way, but it doesn't have nearly the amount of resources behind it.
Joseph Goebbels and Leni Riefenstahl pioneered a series of propaganda films for Nazi Germany. One of the most influential of these films was Triumph of the Will. In seeing the impact and success of the Germans, American filmmaker Frank Capra released a series of U.S. propaganda films called Why We Fight. He practically used identical shots and imagery as the Germans, with a varied narration.
Causes and events leading up to our entry into the war. Well, what are the causes?
Capra later said, it fired no gun, dropped no bombs, but as a psychological weapon aimed at destroying the will to resist, it was just as lethal.
In another way, propaganda often appeals to emotion rather than reason. And so in that way, I think a lot of Islamic State's propaganda qualifies as propaganda because it's not necessarily a rational argument. It's usually employing shock value and impact.
Along these lines, Steve Rose's claims that ISIL's videos are in reaction to the Islamophobic films coming out of Hollywood. There are a number of technical aspects and relevant content to prove this theory. For example, the movie Hurt Locker, directed by Catherine Bigelow in 2008, is an influence on ISIL videos. The editing, cinematography, as in the slow motion scenes, and directing can be seen utilized by ISIL in their Flames of War production, released on YouTube in 2014. The media uses a range of words for ISIL's shocking productions like propaganda documentaries and Hollywood productions. ISIL itself releases videos made in town after town and launched via the internet as films, which we may simply refer to as ISIL's videos in this documentary. Although no one will ever give ISIL an Oscar for their videos, perhaps if anyone was to give ISIL an award for their productions, it would be Fox News.
And it's building in drama. And then the screen goes to black. And not just for that long, but for a few seconds. And the next image is that of the same uniformed man I described earlier holding the same torch. You hear the sound effect of a lighter, and the torch is lit. Then there's some special effects, and the torch is moved from high to low, from this area to reach down and touch a trail of something that is clearly flammable on the ground.
After capturing Iraq's second largest city, Mosul, in June 2014, ISIL, the new diabolic Takfiri group, was introduced to the world by mainstream media. Black flags, militants with covered faces brandishing assault rifles, and an endless abundance of images of beheadings and mass killings taken with high-speed professional cameras. News agencies constantly broadcasting ISIL's conquests in videos. The image familiar and iconic, militants chanting God is great and carrying out a number of villainous acts under the name of Islam. And you have ISIL projecting itself as a dangerous and vicious group, establishing a so-called Islamic State in the Middle East, which cuts through a number of countries, shooting, beheading, and burning enemies, carrying out mass killings and posting every move and step of destruction online, utilizing certain social networking sites. They would even have dialogue with their fans on Twitter and Facebook to discuss future methods and tactics of death, destruction, and conquest. When we start to analyze ISIL's media strategy, we notice their rather paradoxical approach. In one breath, they lay emphasis on early Islam and ancient cultures. They use maps and recognize names and places which haven't existed for centuries. The group claims to employ a view of Islam and the Middle East that goes back ages. And on the other hand, it relies heavily on technology to promote their cause. Social networking, mainstream media, broadcast and print, and the internet in general are all tools utilized by the group in their claim on how old and pure their form of lifestyle is. Yet the group has also exhausted much effort in wiping out ancient history, as witnessed in their destruction of many historical sites like the Nineveh Wall, Assyrian artifacts, churches and shrines, Shia Islam mosques and artifacts, Turkish artifacts and cultural sites, and the list goes on.